my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost them, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat, boy. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Oh, I'm Mike Crystal, and I have a trading problem. Not enough people hit accept.
That is a problem all of us have. But hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 324 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. And we are here on the blandest of Tuesdays. We couldn't even get fake news up in here. Like, Dak had us a little worried about he had a boot on, and then he didn't have a boot on, and then he had a boot on, and then it was a precautionary boot, and...
Yeah, I was saying before the show, Frank will make up stuff just so that we have news, and he couldn't even come up with anything to make up
this. Which, I gotta be honest, and I said the same thing to Frank before, this is absolutely the time where no news is good news. I am thrilled to not have a... This guy came down weird in practice. These two guys bumped knees. This dude was out at a club and punched a guy in the face. Like, we don't need anything right now. It's July. It's July 4th. No one did something drunkenly stupid with fireworks. Like, it's... It's good. It's great. All right. And... We are here with a first-time guest, so we're going to do our first-time guest thing. And, well, actually, before we get into that, Mike, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Mike, I co-founded South Armin Fantasy. Yes, it is an accepted reference because we didn't get into a big-time fantasy company right out the gate, so we said we're just going to fake it and start our own. We'll make a fake college.
Love it.
We made it, and... I don't know. It's crazy that it just keeps blowing up and getting bigger and bigger. But here I am. Here I am, a Dynasty addict, a trade addict, if you will, just like the rest of y'all. Love trading in Dynasty. Just got one done right before we got on the air, too. Pretty proud of myself. Nailed it. Right.
Slow your roll, man. Slow your roll. We'll and I love that you could tell the people that are good at this whole podcasting thing. Mike is one of those people that mutes himself when he isn't talking. And I think both Rocky and I know that if either of us ever tried to do that, we would never remember to unmute ourselves. So we don't even bother.
I've done it just for a cough and forgotten to unmute myself many times.
Exactly. So it's great. I'm glad you can bring some legitimacy to this podcast.
You guys are good. Usually I do this. I'm drinking. I love my vodka. So by the end of the show, the mute button gets a little bit wonky.
All right, well, how long have you been playing fantasy football for?
A girl never tells her age. It's been a while. There's a reason there's gray in my beard, that's for sure. I got a home league now that's been going on. I have been in it personally for 24 years. 24 years. So did a couple before when I was in young grade school. So I guess if you want to say, we'll just say 25 years playing fantasy football. In some form, but really serious about it probably in the last 5 years since Sleeper introduced me to the world of Dynasty and I didn't have to pay for MFL to do it. Been hooked ever since.
Count the grays in your beard all you want. You're probably younger than Rocky and I are, so it's don't worry about it. So does that mean you've been playing Dynasty for about 5-6 years?
Yeah, full-time Dynasty for the last 5 years. A lot of Keeper leagues beforehand, but Keeper's just, you know, not Dynasty. It wants to be. It's pretend.
It is so many of our stepping stones. It was absolutely mine. You know, you start with, all right, two keepers. All right, three keepers, four keepers. You know what? Let's just keep our teams, man. Let's just keep going. Like, why are we playing around like this? All right. Well, I mean, what are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty? And then regale us with the tale of this trade you pulled off right before we started.
Oh, man. Well, the worst trade is one of the first ones I can remember making just because it was so bad. It was so horrible. Once upon a time, your guy right here traded away Austin Eckler for a third round pick. Now, today that doesn't sound bad, but, you know, 4 years ago that was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I had this habitual need to constantly rebuild all the time, and draft picks were the greatest thing ever, so I didn't like Austin Eckler, so screw him. Set him away for the first third that somebody sent me. Look, terrible.
It was about making a point. That wasn't about value. That was about making a statement, and you made that statement.
Sheer principle, right? Just the principle of the matter. I don't like you, Austin Eckler, in 2019, so you're gone.
Would have been awesome if that third round pick hit like with some great guy that came out of the third round.
That was the metaphorical Puka.
Yeah.
Back in the day, yeah. James Robinson for a second.
Yeah, there you go. What about a good trade? There has to be a good trade in your head that you had.
Man, most of the good trades I make is with my podcast partner, Adam. And I usually just wait till he's drunker than I am, and then I fleece him. So the list is almost endless at this point. I remember one time I made him pay entirely too much, like something like four first or five first for Kyle Pitts. Just something in that aspect in a Superflex league, just because that was his guy. He had made his own custom fat head to put on his wall with Kyle Pitts wearing like unicorn wings. So I waited until I got him real sauced up, and then I was like, hey, I got Kyle Pitts in this league, buddy. What do you think?
I don't think even Bosch would have given up four first for Pitts at any point.
I don't know. That dude likes the beer also, so maybe we could have gotten him into a state.
Maybe.
All right, what about the trade? What trade did you just pull off before you got here?
So it was a best ball league on Sleeper, start 10 best ball, super flex, half point, tight end premium. That's best ball is pretty much all I do now for Dynasty anyways. I still have probably five or six lineup leagues, but you know, I can't have a portfolio of 50-plus leagues and set 50 lineups on Sundays and do content. It's impossible. So it's a best ball league. Start 10, pretty vanilla. I sent away Patrick Mahomes. Ooh. Singly. One Patrick Mahomes sent away for Anthony Richardson, Zamir White, and Hunter Henry.
I couldn't do it. I can't. I get that, especially in best ball. Anthony Richardson is, like, ideal. But I... For Mahomes, like Mahomes, it's Mahomes. It's like the safest of safe, and I'm way too risk averse for that. Like, I get it, I understand why, but I'm far too risk averse for that. It makes my skin crawl. But I love your guts for doing that.
It's one of those I sent out probably six of similar offers to everybody in this entire league because I had a tier of quarterbacks I wanted to stay in, and then add two pieces on top of it for best ball purposes. And it's one of those when. You know, two of them get rejected right away, no counters, maybe another guy counters back and forth, and then the one that just gets snapped accepted the first time they see it, they're like, ah, could have asked for more, I think.
Yep. Oh, man, that's such a paralysis, right? Like, I get caught in that every once in a while when I'm sending out offers, especially when I'm sending out offers when I'm bored. Because when you're not really paying attention, you're just like, click, 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 click. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, am I really... What if they, but okay, no, I'm just going to send it anyway. And then they snap accept, and I feel like an idiot for not asking for enough. But like, I know, like, that leads to such like a, and or it gets to the other time where you start asking for far too much and every single one of your trades get rejected. Yeah. And then Rocky starts being really mean to me for sending bad offers.
Well, you send so many. So
I do send so many. That really
makes it easy to.
Okay. But, and before we get into, you know, the trades and the listener questions, you know, it's Scott Fishbowl season, so it's time to talk about it. And before we start talking to Mike about it, I haven't complained about this on this show yet, I don't think. And if I did, I'm going to do it again anyway. So I very early in the process picked my division. And honestly, I was paralyzed by the choice. There was far too many. So I'm scrolling. And I hit H, and I got to Han Solo and Chewbacca, and I'm just like, all right, you know what? This is more than good enough. I will just take Han Solo and Chewbacca. I was more than happy. I have the Millennium Falcon tattooed on my leg. It fits. It works. I'll take the 101 because I just want to make my pick and then move on with my life. And then it's filling. It's filling. There's one spot left before we can, you know, call ourselves a full division. And then I go scottfishbowl.com, go to the slow draft divisions, control F for outhouse to go see. Oh, look, the 111. Dynasty FF addict. Rocky joins my freaking division. Like, it's not bad enough that he makes me look bad on this show by how much better he is at this game than I am. It's not bad enough that he makes me look bad in how many leagues are 11 trade addicts leagues. No, he needs to come in and do this to me in the Scott Fish Bowl. And I don't appreciate it.
I won at 11 and I thought it would just be fun to beat you once or twice this year. So why not?
And then at not 11, whatever, you know, wait, 11, 12, 1. At the 202, he takes Kyler Murray, not letting him fall another 10 picks to me. The audacity of this man to take Kyler Murray and not giving me the chance of getting that epic slide and getting him at the 212.
That's actually the good thing, Russ. We're at least on opposite ends of the draft, so we're not going to really snipe each other. Kyler was not making it another 10 picks to you. So
yeah, but I still need something else to yell at you for. That was the thing I was able to think of. I mean, thankfully you didn't draft T. Higgins just now. I mean, then we would have had words. There's like 5 picks until it's me. I'm very concerned that he's going to go right before me.
Yeah, I think he might.
Yeah. Okay. So clearly I'm in Han Solo and Chewbacca. Rocky's in Han Solo and Chewbacca. I picked 1. Rocky picked 11. Mike, what division are you in and what pick did you start at and how far in are you?
Napoleon Dynamite division. So Cody Carpentier, Alan Sozlowski, Nate Liss, Matty Kewem, they all said, hey, you got to get in this with us. We're all going to go in the same division. Which is good and bad. I like drafting with my friends, but also I hate that they just know everything I'm going to do and take all my players. So we've made it through about five rounds now, almost through the fifth. Most people are pretty fast at drafting. You got one or two that sometimes take 6 hours, 7 hours. Slow going, but it's been fun. This is probably the only second Scott Fish Bowl I did. I didn't do it last year. Time constraints. I was like, do I want to add another piece to this content load, and this year I'm like, let's go. We got to show our stuff and really showcase our warp tool that we've been working on for a while and trying to push, and that's how I'm going to draft. So far it's going really well. I really like my team so far, but we'll see. Drafting against these guys is a pain.
How'd you start? What's your, do you have a strategy? Did you stick to it?
How's it going? So hilarious. We did a video on our YouTube about how we were going to draft the Scott Fish Bowl just based on wins over replacement players. And we said, there's only two choices at the top for us as far as guys that we wanted to take. And it was going to be Christian McCaffrey or CeeDee Lamb. So I picked at the 9 spot. So I didn't even consider that CeeDee Lamb was going to be available there. And somehow, some way, CeeDee Lamb fell to the 9 spot. Followed it up with Breece Hall, which was going to be my original pick at the 109. So 109, 204, CeeDee Lamb, Breece Hall. And then I took Trey McBride in the 3rd round.
Nice.
Devon Achane in the 4th, which I thought about taking him in the 3rd round. So I'm kind of glad that I sequenced that differently because he fell to the 409. And then a guy in Justin Herbert, I'm not the highest on for 2024, but with Scott Fishbowl settings with rushing quarterbacks and first downs and the whole thing kind of being favored, I'm like, all right, Greg Roman, please, please turn him into Diet Lamar Jackson for us, please.
Very Diet Lamar Jackson on that.
Very.
CeeDee Lamb went 7 in ours, and this guy took Breece Hall at 11, so, man, you had a great turn on that one.
Yeah.
Lucked into it, man.
Nice values.
I picked at the 101, and I had myself so set to take Christian McCaffrey, but I knew the second I was on the clock, I was going to chicken out and take a quarterback, and I went with Jalen Hurts. And then, of course, McCaffrey went 2, just to make, like, rub it in my face a little bit. All right, well, we have some questions about SFB later also, so we're going to just move forward. Mike, what do you want to do first? Do you want to do trade addicts trades or listener questions?
Let's do some trades. Can't come out of Trade Addicts Pod and not do trades.
Well, I mean, we would do that.
Right away. Right away. We got to kick it off with trades.
Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage in all leagues except for TA1. And we do have a TA1 trade. This trade was Jordan Love for Dak Prescott and Cooper Kupp. I have thoughts, but Mike, why don't you go first? What do you think about Jordan Love for Dak Prescott and Cooper Kupp?
Jordan Love, the way he finished the year was really nice. And I say that to just set up the fact that the way Dak Prescott finished the year was almost league-breaking on how well that whole Dallas offense was functioning. So for me, both of those guys, I think maybe long-term people definitely feel safer with Jordan Love. You know, you mentioned at the top of the show about the walking boot, and now there's a contract, and we really don't know. But if I'm looking at it just in 1-2 year windows, Dak Prescott definitely is going to play football in 2 years. 3 years, he's going to be starting for somebody. It may not be the Cowboys, but he's still going to be putting up fantasy points. So I think at least for 2024, I'm going to take the Dak and the Cooper Kupp side, because I really think Dak Prescott will probably outscore Jordan Love more than likely, and you just get a free wide receiver on top.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on this one. The extra piece feels like it's on the wrong side. I don't necessarily know if that's consensus anymore, but like, I'm really just into Dak right now. Like, he did really, really, like you said, like by the end of the season, crushing it. And while, yeah, they didn't really do much to make that offense any better, it didn't get much worse. It's not like Pollard was crushing anything that it's like worse that he's gone now. So like, what, nothing changed. Everything's fine. Like, and I get that Jordan Love is young. It's a more fun offense. And if you're, I was about to say, if you're rebuilding, yeah, you're getting a couple of years back, but it's not really that, like, Love is what, 4 years in the league, so he's probably 26, 27. Dak is only 30, 31. Like, it's not exactly an age that you have to worry about anything. Like, to me, I would just rather have Dak over Jordan Love. And I don't care if I'm rebuilding or not.
25 and 30, by the way. I was looking.
Yeah, I knew it was something like that. I mean, Jordan Love's a year younger than I thought he was.
And I'm with you, too. I mean, I do kind of like Jordan Love, but the years, I'll take the, yeah, Dak, I'll take the steadiness of Dak. That, what I know what I'm getting from Dak. I still think, you know, there's a potential that Jordan Love could fall off after last year. It's his first really good year. And I agree with basically what you guys said, that I don't know that I would add Cooper Kupp to either side, actually, to get one or the other. So I'll take the free Cooper Kupp, basically. I think they're pretty equal.
Yeah. Frank in the chat, someone put in my head that Dak could go to Miami and replace Tua if they don't re-sign Tua, and that's all I want now.
maybe. My guy Fizzle keeps saying that he's going to Vegas.
That sounds Vegas more feels fitting. Like, I could see Vegas that. Sounds a lot more fitting. Like, I want a slinger. Like, I want Will Levis to go to Miami. I want some dude that can't overthrow Tyreek Hill in Miami. Like, that's what I want. Like, Dak's good, but, like, he's not that big play guy. Like, not that he can't be, but, like, he just hasn't really shown it. So next, we hit TA10, and we hit another Outhouse Challenge. Again, in case you don't know, Outhouse Challenges, I tell my leagues that if they send me an offer, I'm going to post it as a poll on Twitter. If your side wins the poll, I'm going to accept the offer. We don't have... Well, you'll see the level of trades. There's two that went through, and you'll see the level of what they are. So the first one we have is Terry McLaurin and a 25-4th for Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor, Rocky.
I think I partially just wanted to try and get one through. So I knew this would probably get through.
And yeah, I mean, so this went through on Twitter. I had Daniel Jones. Rocky offered me McLaurin and a fourth. And 60.8% to 39.2% in favor of McLaurin. Whatever, man. Like, Daniel Jones, like, I think he was my QB2, you know, on that team, which is a little upsetting. But also, it's a little upsetting that Daniel Jones was going to have to be a starting quarterback for my team anyway. So, well, like,
that's the upsetting thing, is that's part of the reason I did it, is he's going to have to be a starting quarterback now for my team, because I only had one. Yeah. And I have, like, McLaurin's like my wide receiver 7 or something like that. And, you know, he's not getting any younger, and he's got a rookie quarterback. So who knows how that's going to go this year. So I figured I'll get as cheap a starting. This is even cheaper than I usually go, but I figured I'll get as cheap a starting quarterback as I can. And I'll throw in, since you had him on the roster, I'll throw in Tyrod just for the hell of it.
All right. Well, what do you think about pretty much McLaurin for Daniel Jones, Mike?
It's disgusting. It is.
Yep.
It, like, right now, everybody's going to vote Terry McLaurin because, at least for tradability, he's got the most. But we get to midpoint in the season when people need quarterbacks. If Daniel Jones is even a QB2-ish, which could be a stretch, but he's got legs, which also gives him a floor. I think mid-season for, like, contending teams, Daniel Jones might actually be worth more than Terry McLaurin. I love Terry the player, but it's just a perennial just meh disappointment. Yep. He doesn't change your dynasty team. He's just a depth piece. I don't think that changes this year. I'm really excited about Jaden Daniels, but I'm excited about him because he runs the football, right? He's the Konami code that we all want. Not because I think he makes Terry McLaurin or Jahan Dotson or anybody in that passing offense so much better than they were last year with Sam Howell slinging the ball all over the place. So, I don't know. I guess for, like, right now, tradability, it probably favors Terry McLaurin in the fourth because Tyrod has little to no value since he's not a starting quarterback somewhere. It takes an injury for him to actually get a value bump. Daniel Jones is just gross and disgusting. I think long term, though, if I was to build out my team, though, if I needed a third quarterback, I'm kind of okay sending away Terry McLaurin for third quarterback insurance. I don't know how I'd feel if Daniel Jones is my second quarterback, though.
I love that that's the situation on both of our teams. I know. Our second quarterbacks.
And with McLaurin, everyone remembers, like, last year how Stroud helped the young receivers there and all that. But historically, if you look, usually receivers getting rookie quarterbacks, it does not work out well for them.
Correct.
So I figured McLaurin was probably going to be even less fantasy points-wise this year than he was last year.
Yeah, which – again, which is sad because I really do like the wide receiver, like the player. So next one, I was like, I saw this come through and I'm just like, all right. I mean, all right. So a 25 and 26 second for Roman Wilson, Adam Thielen, and a 26 third. I knew this was going to go through. I had Wilson, Thielen, and the third. And I'm like, I guess that's fine, but I just kind of really like Roman Wilson. And I was sad to see him go, but I guess I have 2 seconds now. And it was 68.4 to 31.6%. Like, I knew these seconds were going to end up winning it. I was like, I almost wanted to be like, why did you send this? Why did you send this? But they did, and I didn't ask. So do you have any deep, burning, analytical thoughts on a 25 and 26 second for Roman Wilson, Adam Thielen, and a 26 third?
This is a good liquidity move. It doesn't feel good because people have player takes. And like you said, you like Roman Wilson. I get it. A lot of people do. But moves like this, I'm going to take the draft picks 10 out of 10 times. Even if I'm a contending team and I thought maybe Thielen was going to be something for my team, even in a best ball league, I'm like, let me just get the seconds because I know the tradability of them in season will buy me something equal, if not better, than what I just sent away right now. Like, it really will. I'm all for buying Adam Thielen cheap, like a third rounder maybe, a late third potentially if I'm a contending team. I'm not sending any kind of second for him ever, ever again. He's never going back up in value, ever. Like, it's done. He's where he is from here to eternity till he retires. Roman Wilson's nice, but anytime I could take something that's a third round rookie pick right now and flip it for a future year second, that's a W, and I just move on with it. Sending the third back was kind of like a little sneaky, like, hey, I want to make you feel it a little bit, but still, it's the 2 seconds pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I think Twitter actually got this pretty right. This is a good deal for you as much as you like Roman Wilson, and I do too, but unless he becomes like the next Deontay Johnson, you're probably making out fine here, and getting any kind of anything for Adam Thielen is pretty good. If you getting a second, I know the third's in there too, and even if it's 26, but getting a second with basically for Adam, because Wilson's worth it, probably the 25 second ish. I think he was drafted in a lot of seconds this year.
Because ours are pretty quick after the NFL draft. He was drafted in the second in all of the TA drafts.
Yeah.
What's happening now or since then, I don't know at all. But yeah, no, he was drafted in the second. So I got a second for a second, pretty much. And again, like, I agree with Rock, like, and Mike, but like, the Twitter made the right choice. I get it. But also, to like what Mike said, people have player takes, and I'm a people. And though also, Roman Wilson was probably one of my most drafted players in these rookie drafts, so I have plenty of shares out there anyway. Last trade, TA11, which went down this afternoon, which led me to send many middle finger emojis. Marquise Brown, T. Higgins, and a 25 first and second for Puka Nacua and Tony Pollard. I will say that I sent the middle finger emoji because Addison Hayes was the one who traded away T. Higgins, and he didn't trade him to me. So, Mike, thoughts on Hollywood Brown, T. Higgins, a 25 first and second for Puka, and Tony Pollard?
When I look at trades, probably the easiest way for me to analyze them is just to find things that are very close and just cancel them out, kind of like how you used to do algebra back in the day. So, yep. Or you got to get that equal sign just right. So I used to take Tony Pollard and Hollywood. I guess you could say they're pretty close. Like, they're ballpark. You might favor one versus the other. You may favor the wide receiver because it's a wide receiver and not a running back. Whatever your take is on them, I think they're very close. So you could cancel those out. And then I look at it and I go, okay, Puka and T. Higgins. Do I really think Puka is a first and a second better than T. Higgins? And for me personally, I don't. I think they're relatively close. Obviously, you favor Puka because he's closer to a top five wide receiver, where we hope T. Higgins gets back into that wide receiver one conversation. But the difference in scoring, points per game, WARP, however you want to look at it, I don't think it is a first and a second necessarily. I don't know if it's quite a first either. So I'm going to take the first and the second, liquidity T. Higgins and Hollywood Brown, and you can have the Puka.
I knew I liked this guy.
I'm with Mike again here. Like, I love Puka, but if he's what he did last year every single year, then maybe he's worth a first and a second over T. Higgins, but that's no guarantee. I mean, that was 1 year. We don't know how much long Stafford has. Kupp could stay healthy this year, specifically. So yeah, I mean, I would be fine tearing down from Puka for like T. Higgins in a 25 first, and then I would easily take Brown in a second for Tony Pollard. So again, I think Puka outscores Higgins most likely this year, but I don't think that's a given even. And yeah, getting the first on top of it just makes it, you know, makes it pretty easy call for me.
Yeah. While clearly I agree with both of you, I don't know if like the world does. Like, I feel like no matter where you look, Puka's wide receiver 6 or 7 in that area, T. Higgins in that low to mid teens, like 16 to 20 area. And I think that is like a first and a second difference. Like, if that's the way you feel about it. And yeah,
I think Puka may be overvalued though, by the community at large. Yeah.
That, you know, different story altogether now, but like, you know, just they are being what they are. I get it. And I get why the value of this, like, to me, this trade is absolutely fine. Like, it went through and I'm just like, okay, that's fine. I'm really just angry because I want T. Higgins and I was too busy to go just immediately send an offer to the guy who just got him, which I'll do after the show because we'll need content for next show also. So I'll have our back on that one.
Let me ask you guys something here too. Another way I like to look at it is just if I put myself in a startup and kind of just put the guys in where they go ADP-wise as a startup and ask if it made sense. So if I cancel out the Hollywood Tony Pollard thing, you just look at the T. Higgins Puka. Puka goes at the end of the third, beginning part of the fourth round. So if you're on the clock, let's just say it's the 312. You're on the clock at the 312. T. Higgins goes at the 510. So if somebody in a startup trade were to offer you their 510 for your 312 and give you a first and a second, I mean, how many people would say no to that deal in reality?
Yeah, would you do it for less?
I think I would. I think it just definitely a first gets it done. You know, maybe the second
wouldn't be necessary, but like, I wouldn't be sad that someone also would give me a second. Also.
Yeah.
Like, if someone just sent me a first, I'd be like, ah, but if someone sends me a second, I'll be like, okay. Yeah. All right. I like that.
It's just the easiest way to make monsters, in my opinion, in startups is to take those like one round trade downs and just take somebody's future every single time. Just
take their future. Just,
yeah, you take their future, you take their soul, and now they got to come to you when they inevitably finish fourth fifth and they're like, oh, my team's not going to get any better next year. I know. I have your pick. You're not getting it back.
But also, funny story, in Trade Addicts 10, I have John Bosch's soul on my roster. He traded it to me.
Literally.
Yeah, I created the custom player, the soul of John Bosch. Yes, I absolutely do. Before we move on to listener questions, I have a listener question. You have a Jaxon Smith-Njigba jersey hanging behind you. Please tell me that you are as excited for JSN this year as I am, because I need fellow hype men for JSN right now.
I'm excited for him. I think that whole offense I'm really excited for. Even, I mean, if JSN is going to succeed, right, it's going to hurt Tyler Lockett. But we go from a Pete Carroll gross offense mm-hmm. to an exciting Ryan Grubb, Washington Huskies, number one, number two offense in college football the last 2 years. Made Rome Odunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk, Jeremy Bernard, who transferred to Alabama, made them all stars and relevant. Made Michael Penix a first-round pick when nobody expected that to happen. Made Dylan Johnson at least a UDFA from a guy who was on a career path to luckily maybe playing in the UFL at some point. So I'm excited for the whole offense to take a step forward. And I think there's enough to go around for everybody, even if Geno Smith is not back to being Geno Smith comeback player of the year. I think having Sam Howell on that roster as another alternative go-to makes you feel good that even if Geno Smith's bad, Sam Howell will step in. He has no problem slinging it all over the place.
I want Howell for that exact reason.
Exactly. So JSN, I am looking forward for him to take a step forward. We're always rushing rookies. It's not like he had a Jalen Reagor-esque bad rookie season. It's not a Treylon Burks situation. It was just underwhelming for most of us. And it takes time sometimes for rookies, but we never want to acknowledge that. So I am excited for JSN. Jersey be damned. That's just a leftover that ended up framing from our YouTube giveaway. So I said, hey, I'll put it up here. I'm not even an Ohio State fan. I'm an Iowa fan because I don't like offense. I just like, you know, safeties on defense and lots of punting.
Oh, that's cool. I have a gigantic poster signed jersey of T. Higgins with all of these T. Higgins cards and T. Higgins cards up there. And I'm not a Bengals fan. It doesn't matter. I'm just
a T. Higgins fan.
Okay, so let's get on to our listener questions now that I had my listener question out of the way. First, from Frank in the chat, where are you guys on Dak this year? He is always one of the most polarizing players, and it never feels like he gets enough respect. But he went nuclear in the back half of last year. Are you buying or selling on the back half of last year's performance? Now, I feel like Mike and I both have pretty much just said we're in on Dak, and then Rocky agreed that he's in on Dak, because I just realized we talked about Dak already because he was in a trade. So, everybody in on Dak?
Easily.
Yep. There you go. Next, at FF Tommy B, what is the most high-value thing you could successfully steal in a heist? Now, I got to be honest. You are not – I can't speak for Mike specifically because – I don't really know him, but I'm just going to say we're probably not the three most nimblest people in the world. Some might call, at least I would call myself, clunky and not graceful, and will probably fall over while trying to creep and steal something. So I am shocked that I was able to pull off being the tooth fairy for my kids without waking them up. So, is teeth a good answer for this?
That's about the best I could see. Yeah, I am not a... I'm a short man, but I'm not a small man. So I will be making plenty of noise. I don't know what I could get away with stealing anywhere. So, if you're doing one of those Mission Impossible laser things, I'm getting hit right the first time I take a step, so I have no idea what I could get away with doing. I don't think anything. Ooh. I'm the first guy getting caught.
I definitely think I could steal. I could steal copious amounts of health food, which is expensive, but nobody would suspect me. They'd be like, no way, the fat kid. Exactly. The fat kid did not steal the granola. I know for a fact he did not take the granola. look at him. He doesn't eat granola.
Yeah, you're just walking out of a supermarket with your arms full of lettuce and no one even notices.
No one notices.
Are we tripping? What are we hallucinating that for? All right. Oh, Oh, Eric in the chat. Context for the Dak for Love trade. I was paying the Packer tax by being a Packers fan and buying from a Packers fan. This was a move from pure fandom. Oh, no. Go get your guy. Absolutely. Like, you know, at least I am always a pure proponent. And everyone, of course, knows the people I like. So I have to pay the tax to go get the players I like. So good. More powerful to you. Absolutely. Like, and I hope anyone in the Trade Addicts Leagues who hears us talk about these trades realize that we're not actually bad-mouthing anybody. We're just, you know, talking about numbers on a page. Not even, like, we purposely usually don't bring context in whatsoever. And yeah. Context matters so much in trades.
And probably 90% of the time, we don't even remember who made them, so.
Oh, I never remember who made them. And usually they're me sometimes.
Well, I remember the TA11 trade only because it was today.
Oh, yeah. I was cursing at Addison for not giving me Higgins. Yes. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Trade Addicts, former co-host at Brian Hart, FF, says he's in the Obi-Wan division. Started, wow. Lamar Jackson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derrick Henry, Kyle Pitts, and Jake Ferguson through five rounds. That's a really good start. Of course, assuming we have any idea what we're talking about, and I will never claim to. His first question, how good is Saquon Barkley going to look in Kelly Green and Silver, Rocky?
Amazingly beautiful. I'm so pissed because I got sniped on him in the third round, the third round reversely. He went at the 301. I was all ready to take Saquon at 302, and then he got picked, but. He's going to look great, and he's good. I think he's going to catch more passes than people think because the Eagles' backs have not been great. Not that they've been bad, but they haven't been throwing to them as much in the last few years.
Again, they didn't have anyone really worthwhile to catch the ball. Yeah, I mean, Brian and I, it was like embarrassing when we would talk about Saquon Barkley. Like, we would just have hearts in our eyes the entire time. And, you know, I wonder if that's probably even closer for Brian to go watch Saquon play now.
Yeah,
I'm all in favor of Saquon on the Eagles in that offense. What are your feelings on Mr. Barkley, Mike?
Well, first off, go Birds. I mean, that needs to be said. Go Birds. So,
go Birds.
Does it need to be said?
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm extremely excited for Saquon Barkley playing for my Philadelphia Eagles. And as one of the few players,
I didn't even know Mike was an Eagles fan. This guy even more now.
I try to be very player agnostic when I play Dynasty. But I've done real stupid shit for Saquon.
Yeah.
Real just bad things where I know it's a terrible process play. It goes against everything that I preach all the time. And I tell people too, I said, get it like a Saquon trade and they ask you like, well, what do you think about this? And I go, for you, probably wouldn't do this. This is bad. But for me personally, I want Saquon all day. Give me all the Saquon. So I'm really excited for it. I know a lot of people really push him down because Tush Push and Jalen Hurts in the running game. Listen, the offensive coordinator last year was god-awful. He was terrible. And as an Eagles fan, it pained me to see Steichen leave, this guy take over, and our offense just go in the toilet. It was disgustingly bad. And whatever you think about Kellen Moore as far as how he's for an NFL team, because he puts his defenses in some really bad spots with how fast he plays and how much he throws the football. For fantasy production, he's a godsend. He's a godsend. And I think people will come to understand it with Justin Herbert going from that last year to now we're going to run the ball and really slow the pace of the game down. You're going to see a big difference in how the Eagles play in just pace of play, how many passes they throw. Neutral game script pass attempts, the whole thing. So Saquon Barkley being a part of that offense and being the guy who, other than Jalen Hurts, is getting the ball on the goal line.
And you mentioned the Tush Push in there. I think it's maybe not being thought of as much how that could certainly be less effective this year with Jason Kelce gone. I think we could see more running backs getting goal line touches than you know, Hurts had like probably 15, you know, touchdowns last year on a Tush Push alone or something. So, yeah.
Just not Kenneth Gainwell with goal line touches, please. Don't do that to me.
I'm with you.
No Boston Scott in town, so I already got that one out of the way. Just no Kenneth Gainwell goal line carries. I don't want to see it ever again.
Well, I do love Saquon. I have plenty of Dynasty shares. I will say I did just draft Jalen Hurts 101 in Fishbowl, and I have many Jalen Hurts Dynasty shares, so not too many less first downs and touchdowns, please. You can sacrifice a few.
I have AJ Brown, so he can just throw more.
Oh, I mean, I'm all for it. give me AJ Brown touchdowns also. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Next question. Why do dynasty managers hate actual fantasy points and foolishly discard them for potential fantasy points over and over again? And why did Brian feel the need to attack me on my own show? Is what I need to know.
Preach, Brian, preach.
Because it's, first of all, what season is it right now? Oh, yeah, the non-point scoring season. There's no points being scored right now. So I don't need to think about real points. No, but the truth is, it's fun to have a pretty roster. And we get caught up in the name dynasty, where we feel like we need to build a dynasty from the ground up. Like, we need to do it with all 22-year-olds and then win the league for the next 9 years until your guys age out, which is clearly unrealistic, impossible to some, except if your name's J. Mike, which you can just keep doing that because he's too good at this game. But like that's really what it is to me. And I'm part of the problem. I'm absolutely, because I get bored and blow my teams up for no reason whatsoever. So like, I was joking when I said that, you know, he was attacking me, but he was. Do you notice this? I mean, you said you're a bit of a portfolio player, Mike. Do you see, is it really a widespread issue of people just selling out points for that pretty name?
Sometimes, and it's a context thing. It really is. I mean, first off, Dynasty is played in cycles. It really is. And we're in the youth value acquisition portion because, like you said, there's no fantasy points being scored. So what's most appealing to everybody? Pretty names and draft picks. Rookies, young guys. That's what everybody wants. So I want as much of that stuff on my team because now I'm the most attractive girl at the bar. Now everyone wants to come talk to me. If I have a roster full of Keenan Allens and Mike Evans and Derrick Henrys, not a lot of people want to take me home. Not a lot of people really are that interested in me. So when we get to the point scoring season, that does flip. But two, what's really different is Dynasty versus Redraft. In Redraft, everybody's trying to win every single year. In Dynasty, what, 5, 6, maybe 7 of the people in the league are trying to win actively that year, doing whatever it takes to trying to win. The other people just want draft picks. They want to think about what they want to do in the future. They want young guys. They want to project, hey, 2025 is going to be my year. So we also have to keep that in mind when people are sending away production. It just may not fit what they want to do with their team. They may understand that, hey, this isn't going to be my year. I have an outside chance of maybe even making the playoffs, so why not put myself in position to be the most attractive person come next dynasty offseason cycle when everybody wants draft picks and they want youth? I'm the person to come see. I'm the one you got to come trade with. You're not going to go to the Keenan Allen manager next year when he's 57 years old asking for him. So there's context to it and kind of why. But in general, yes, the main point of the question is correct. Sometimes it gets taken to the extreme and people really do sacrifice production. Like, they are actively trying to win and they're sacrificing fantasy points just to chase after the new shiny toy, even though the new shiny toy isn't beneficial to what they're actually trying to do.
Anything to add, Rock?
No, I think he said it pretty well there. I've always been a, you know, give me points kind of guy. I don't think it's a big surprise to anybody listening to this podcast. I think we very much, like you said, I mean, it's the non-point scoring season and you like to get value, but I think we very, especially when it comes to young players as opposed to picks, because we all know picks are always going to increase in value. But I mean, we sort of talked about, I mean, Puka is proven and that little proven to an extent. We talked about that a little earlier, but even that, I think, like I said, we're overrating him because he's so young. I need to see him do it at least one more year before we have him maybe as high as we do. That's why I said I think he's a little overvalued. And I'm always the one who's kind of skeptical of rookies. Like I'll talk about, like, we were on another pod recently and they were talking about Rome Odunze, and I'm like, everyone wants to believe he's great. He could totally suck. We don't know. I say that every year when we're talking about rookies. So yeah, I'm big on getting points. I think you do it often too, Russ. I tend to trade a lot of my picks away if I'm anywhere near contending, and if I hold on to them, a lot of times I trade them come draft time for players. So yeah, I am totally. That's why I said preach when you said read the question, because I'm totally on board with Brian. I think we put way too much stock in rookies. Like I said, picks I get a little more because you can hold them, and then as they increase, trade them for players. So, I'm always trying to get points.
Winning's overrated. How is Rock feeling 2 months post Monster TA2 deal? So I had to look this up because I didn't remember what it is.
I was actually looking it up too. I couldn't remember the exact details of it. I was doing that while we were
talking. So Rocky gave up the 101, 105, 108, and 210 for Joe Burrow, Drake London, the 205, and a 25 first. One more time. 101, 105, 108, and 210 for Joe Burrow, Drake London, the 205, and a 25 first. So reflecting on this, Rock, how do you feel about it?
I feel great about it. I'm sort of mid-rebuild in this league. I've said this many times, as much as I, you know, say that I don't pay up for quarterbacks, I don't really think I paid up that much. I mean, Joe Burrow is a pretty elite asset, and I tend to put more value in quarterbacks just when I'm rebuilding, and then when I want the points, I worry more about the points then, and then I'll try maybe break them down into more points. Like I'll tear down from Burrow, to maybe a Dak plus or something like that when I'm ready to compete. So I'm very happy to have Burrow that I can hold for a while. And if I won't be competing this year, but I'm hoping in a year or so will be, which that first is also going to help with. And we were talking about this in the Cool Kids Club a little bit earlier, but I was very not a Drake London guy coming out. I've warmed up to him over the year. I've said this many times. I don't have take lock. I was not an Ayuk guy early, and now I love Ayuk. There's other guys like that too. And especially if London hits, I'm gonna probably love him more than most people, because when I didn't like a guy and then I come around on him, I really come around on him usually. Yep. And I'm starting to be that way with London actually. So. We were talking about it because I drafted him in SFB too. So I like him a lot for this year, and obviously going forward, he's still young. So and Brian got a lot of he actually traded. I looked at it. He traded the 105 and the 108 for the 102. So he ended up getting Caleb and Marvin Harrison basically out of this.
Yeah, trade. And the jerk ruined my ADP by taking Marvin Harrison first and Caleb second because he knew he could, and he hates me.
Yes. But yeah, I also got what I think are one borderline elite player in Burrow and then potential elite player in London and a first on top of it. So I'm still very happy with it. And I'm not expecting a 10 this year, but those guys are guys that, you know, I can hold for a while until I do.
Any feelings on that one, Mike?
No, I still like it for you, Rock. I still like it.
Yes.
I mean, we talked about a little bit about how I like to cancel things out. The 101 or Joe Burrow. I mean, they're being drafted in ADP-wise very similarly, so cancel those out. Drake London versus the 105, whether that's Neighbors or Dunze, if you wanted to make it easy. Very close, right next to each other, similar projections. Cancel those out. And then you traded the 8 for a future first, but you moved up in the second round a little bit. It's not the worst thing in the entire world. I don't mind that at all. And you just talked about projection versus production. You got the projection on your side now. The projection is, can Caleb live up to it? Can, you know, what that 5 and 8 potentially, could they live up to it? And then where that 25 first lands, right? If it ends up being on the earlier side or mid to early, you're going to love having that extra liquidity just on your team to send to somebody when you really are ready to compete.
It was a good one. It was, and it's really funny because he's been trying to pull a very similar deal with me in a different league. So I was just happy that he got it done in this one so he could leave me alone in TA6. Our last question comes from @TacitAssassin13. So wow, Frank, Tommy, Brian, and Zach, like people that are just constantly on our show or used to host our show. Thanks, fellas. Who is the one player you're quote-unquote not leaving without in your SFB draft? Is there a player that you're targeting in trades? Oh, nope, that's a separate question. Let's just do the first one first. Is there a player that you just want in your SFB team? And of course, remember that, I mean, it'll take me like 2 days to post this, so you can drop a little bit if you haven't drafted them yet. I'll go first in saying that I saw that Jonathan Taylor was falling past the second round in a lot of drafts. And that's one of the reasons I took a quarterback first instead of taking McCaffrey, was being absolutely thrilled with the idea of getting Jonathan Taylor at the 212. And that's, I took him there. So it's not that I was going to be sad if I didn't get him, because I would have been fine with one of the other running backs that are up in that area, but like, or whatever other position I took at that time. But like, that move actually steered a direction for me. Other than that, I don't think I have anyone. What I am doing differently, though, than I ever have done before, I don't care. Like, I'm not looking at ADP. I'm not looking at anything. All I'm doing is I'm going to that player stats tab, looking to see what players scored last year, and just picking players that scored a lot of points if it seems like they'll do it again. Like, I took Debo in, like, the fourth or fifth, and, like, that's probably way too early, but I just don't care. He was, like, the 20th highest scoring player in the league, in this scoring last year. So it just made sense to grab him, so I did. So, like, I think that, like, that's just a different thing that I've ever done before, and I hate it. It feels weird, but if you're going to try something, you might as well try it during Scott Fishbowl, right?
Yeah, and I'm similar to you. I mean, I don't know if it's a cop-out answer. I don't have that at all. Like, I'm sort of just going with the flow of what's going on in the draft. Like, I didn't really have any specific plan at all coming in. If I did have one at all, I actually wanted tight end early, and we're through five rounds and I have no tight end. So that's how it's going.
You failed, Rocky.
Yes, exactly. Now I'm just being fluid with the draft, seeing what's there, trying to get value. I don't have any specific guys I'm targeting. I did not expect that I would have Drake London, for instance. Or Isaiah Pacheco, who I also drafted. I just thought they were values where I took them.
I give you a real guy off the radar here that I refuse to leave, and I'm on pins and needles, so we're at the 508. I don't pick again to the 609, and I'm praying nobody knows about this, but Rashid Shaheed and Warp and Scott Fishbowl scoring last year because of the kick returns and punt return yardage was the 19th overall player. This is a guy who should have been
first and second round in some of the drafts.
Exactly. Like, some people are onto the game. He should be a second round pick. And one of the big bonuses of Rashid Shaheed is this is just off of his role last year. Now, a couple of things have changed, right? We expect his role as a wide receiver possibly to grow, but even if it stayed the same, the one thing that's definitely growing, the new kickoff return rules. They're not incentivized to have touchbacks anymore, and there's going to be far more kick returns. And this is the primary kick returner who's going to get a ton of kick return yards. So his point numbers are going up, so taking him in the first round or the second round feels like a steal, and I'm on pins and needles whether I can get him in the sixth. And for a lot of these drafts, I mean, I'm seeing him go in the 11th. I'm seeing him outside the top 100 players in the 120s. It's very strange to me that nobody's really caught on to this, but Rashid Shaheed, I'm desperately trying to get. I just hope nobody knows about it until that 609 pick comes up so I can just push the button and move on.
Russ, you got two picks coming up soon. Is it going to be one of them?
No, but it's eight picks until me, and one of them is going to be T. Higgins if he's there. That's for sure. I'm not sure about the second because I only have one quarterback, and I don't have a tight end yet either. I'm not going to even bother looking now to see who's available, because I know if I look, they're going to be gone. Like, I was shocked that Evan Engram went 307, like four picks before me. Like, the picks before me,
tight ends have all been going early in this.
Evan season. Engram, Puka Nacua, Jaden Daniels, Derrick Henry, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, if I set my pre-draft, it would have been those players almost in that order. But I did set my pre-draft, and Marvin Harrison Jr. was first, and he went the pick before me. So all I know is I am grabbing T. Higgins at the 512 if he's there. I don't know what I'm doing with the 601 yet.
Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah, maybe.
Rashid Shaheed.
I might just do it anyway for the lulls. Is there a player that you're targeting in trades now before the hype of camp/preseason? No. Weirdly enough, like it's I don't know if there's less camp fluff this year than there has been in the past, or if I'm just too busy to notice it, but I haven't really noticed anything, and there's nothing that makes me want to buy or sell you one right now.
I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, I don't really worry that much about hype or anything other than how it affects other people and what they might do. And if I can sell a guy off of it, I can't think of anybody that I like. That's also not generally how I do trades anyway. I don't often like go, oh, I want T. Higgins and go find who owns or who rosters T. Higgins in a specific league. I just kind of like look at my roster and see who I might want to move or see, you know, what position, especially as the season gets closer, what position I might want to bolster, and then look at who has that kind of thing. I don't generally, like, obviously there's guys I like more than other guys, but I don't generally just go, okay, I'm going to go in this league and trade for T. Higgins or Dak Prescott or whatever. I just, it's kind of more fluid than that. It's not just like I pick a guy and go look for him.
Ooh, this one's easy for me, though. There is only one guy. That, and I'm kind of with you, Russ. I don't know if this year's just been more mild. I mean, even the Twitter timelines, like there's not as much hype pieces going around about guys, not as much coach speak as I've remembered in the past. So it's been a pretty mild offseason, really. But Marshawn Lloyd is a guy I want to get on my team. Just do dumb things for. And I really want to do it before people really realize how good of a running back, one, he was coming out. I know the fumble problems were an issue, but two, how cooked Josh Jacobs actually is and how much better of a fit Marshawn Lloyd is for this offense. So when they get into training camp and you start getting those reports about Marshawn Lloyd's, you know, taking this amount of reps with the ones, Marshawn Lloyd's in on this package, Marshawn Lloyd is taking third downs, Marshawn Lloyd's done this, I want to get there before that flips and people really start to cool on Josh Jacobs and go, oh, Marshawn Lloyd might actually be a thing in 2024. So that's the guy I want to get on my team.
See, I like Marshawn Lloyd because his name is Marshawn L, and I just, you know, that's my analysis on it. But I still need Josh Jacobs for this season, so pump the brakes, man. Pump the brakes. I'm not ready for it.
I'm sorry to do it to you.
But I like the call. And then Zach says, I haven't made a single bad pick in SFB 14 yet because he's drafting in Boston Live in 2 weekends from now. But that's the end of our show. That's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Mike, for coming on. I had a great time. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Well, I'm Mike. You can find me at IOMichael on Twitter. And just go check out everything we got going on the YouTube. It's a pretty good spot for it. My Twitter is a terrible follow. I just do a lot of retweeting and shit posting. That's about all I do on Twitter. I just use it for a news cycle. But South Harmon Fantasy. So check us out on YouTube if you got anything going on.
He can say shit posting, and it just means that he's forwarding the stuff from his site, and that just makes me so happy.
South Harmon Institute of Technology. Shithead, stand up.
There you go. I love it. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record, be in the chat, tell us the things that we're forgetting to talk about. Like Chris Godwin is playing in the slot this year where he's had a lot of success, and I didn't see that until right now, and we're not going to start talking about it now because I'm falling asleep in this chair. What else do we do? I think that's all we do. Fantasycares.org, that's what matters, right? Like, do I have something else I normally say here, Rocky?
After Patreon.
I said that. Oh, you're right, the Discord. We have the Discord chat.
Sorry, what I meant. Yeah.
That just shows how done I am. Fantasycares.org, go donate. It's got fishbowl season, and that's what we're here for. And also, fantasycares.org/stickers. If you are a patron, you could see the awesome stickers I have on my cup right now. You could join the Sticker of the Month Club and get 1 to 3 very awesome Fantasy Cares or SFB related stickers sent to your house every single month. Stickers make me happy. On that note, night, everybody.
Night, Russ.
Oh, man, I almost hit the Leaf Studio stream instead of the end.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Pod, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.